We are going to hear three testimonies today where people have changed their position, changed their vision, and they said, God, you work it out. And God did just that. He did just that. Tony, is Tony here? You're hiding. You're blending. Amen. Let's welcome Tony, okay? Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good. God is definitely good. Lately, I know more so New Breed, when we gather, we've been talking about our testimonies and what God has been doing. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been saying that God has been giving me a lot of dreams and our intuitions about people or things. And I've been seeing it come to pass without even actually effort. It's just like, for example, if Amanda, I have a thought about food or something, and she'll come in with that food or something like that. So it's just weird, you know, it's something that's not, it's supernatural, you know, it's supernatural. But you just allow God to do his work. And I've been dreaming and having a lot of visions lately. So the other day when I was on my vacation a couple weeks ago, I just came back to work this week. I had told the New Breeders that I realized that I had gotten so distracted because of my busy day that I don't think I had talked to God all day. And I was telling him, I was like, when I got that night, I just repented and just like, Lord, forgive me for being so distracted by life. And it just kind of led into God saying, you know, we got to slow down and, you know, and open up our communication with God. So it all connected with what Pastor had been preaching that Sunday and stuff like that. So I got back in the rhythm. And so a couple days ago, I woke up and for some reason, my cousin's grandmother, who passed away some years back, popped up in my spirit, and I just began thanking God for her life. And I was just like, wow, Lord God, thank you so much for her life. Although I wasn't her grandchild, she didn't treat us any different. Like, you know, she was a spiritual woman. I learned so much from her, even at a young age. And I just thought about God, how did he put spiritual people around me, even though I wasn't there yet at that point. And she passed away of cancer. And for some reason in my spirit, I said, like, I actually looked, like, really told God, I said, Lord, I wish I was in place that I could have prayed for her. And I was like, Lord, I'm not trying to sound cocky, or I'm not trying to sound like I have power myself, but I know you hear my voice. And for some reason, I just said that, and I was just like, wow, Lord God, thank you for hearing my voice. Thank you that you hear my prayers. Thank you that when I've prayed for people, I've seen things happen in their lives. And I was just like, you know, you don't really think about it until those moments where he settled you down. So I was like, I just wish I had an opportunity to pray for this person. But I thank you for her life. I thank you for everything she's taught, you know, and I prayed other things. And so as I got to work, you know, I'm feeling good, and God is, day is going well, morning is going well. And sometimes me and the coworkers, we go down, and, you know, we just talking and we just walking down, and we're going to get some breakfast. And this guy who works with me, he doesn't work in my department, but he works in a hospital, and I just see him. I see him every periodically, and I just be like, hey, how you doing? You doing all right today? And I just speak to him. Nothing too out of ordinary. Just speak and be kind and nice. And he's like, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How you doing? I was like, I'm doing well. And I was like, all right, now you take good care of yourself. And I just kind of start walking out the cafeteria, and he like kind of ran me down. I was like, hey, are you a minister? And I was like, no, I'm not. I just smiled. I was like, no, I'm not a minister. I mean, I take the chance whenever I can. But I was like, no, I'm not a minister. And he's like, no. So I kind of just, he was like, oh, okay. And I kind of start turning around and start walking off again. He's like, hey, do you think you can do me a favor? And I was like, okay, what's going on? He was like, my daughter's going through some things, and I would like you to pray for her. And so, you know, that took me back, you know, like, I'm like, I don't know you, like, you don't, like, I haven't ministered to you, I don't know, you know, I'm like, I don't know, like, you just, but he came and said, I feel like God's telling me to come to you and pray for her. And so, you know, not only was I taken back by it, because I was just like, wow, God, like, you sent somebody to me, you know, like to get prayed for. And, you know, so and I was just like, that was such an honor. You know, I was just honored by it. And then not only that, my coworker who was sitting there like, oh, wow, like that, you know, she had an experience. Like she was telling me as soon as I got back in the room, she was like, I just began to pray because I was like, I've never seen her like that. I never seen somebody just come up to somebody, don't know them, and say that I believe God wants you to pray for my daughter. Like, you know, she knows me a little bit more than, you know, she knows. I might talk to her about God a little bit every now and again. So she knows that, but he didn't. And that just wowed her. So, you know, we're both in awe. But just to go back, and I started by thinking about that day, I was like, Lord, from the morning when I was asking you, I wish I could just pray for somebody. And for you to send an assignment to me, you know, because, you know, you got to understand that, you know, I could have went to breakfast at any time. I could have missed that moment. It was a design moment for me to have and to encounter this person. And for him to even have enough faith or confidence to say, Lord, or even for him to be as connected to even hear that, you know, it was just something. So I just know God is doing something in our lives. And you know, God is, you know, something that you don't even have to put effort into. God, you don't have to try to force your assignment. God is going to send you assignments and you just got to be in position to receive it. So, you know, keep me prayed up. I'm going to be praying for them. Oh, yeah. And another side note is when I told my grandmother about this, my grandmother Deborah, she was like, that's so funny because I just was thinking about their grandma too. And she said, I was praying for them and I was thinking about how well she treated us. It was like a day before or something like that. And I was like, that was just crazy. That just even blew my mind even more. It's like, wow. And, you know, I haven't, you know, she's been gone for at least over 10 years probably about now. And it's just, you know, God is just so good, you know. So just that's all I had to share. And
Amen. Amen. Tony was available. Tony was available. He had already been in position. He was in position. He didn't have to think about it. God took care of everything. Everything. Breakfast included. Amen. We like that, don't we? Amen. Yes. Shelly? Shelly? Can you come up too? You have one too? Amen.
He's alive. He's alive. He is. People of God, he is alive. He's alive. He is alive in my life, in your life. He is alive. Somebody can beat me over the head with a hammer today, and I will still say, he is alive. It's not going to change how I feel about the Father. He is alive. Glory to God. I was praying, Pastor, about where to start. Because God has just been doing a domino effect in my life for the last couple of weeks. And it started with the last week I was in the hospital. And I had a dream in the hospital that my brother came to me and he sat on the side of my bed. And I felt him in the dream sit on my bed. And when I felt him sit on the bed, I woke up and I sat up with him. And he hugged me and he kissed me. As soon as he started talking, I said, oh, my God. That loud voice, you know. He could be sitting right beside you, and he sound, you know, like he yelling at you from across the way. That loud, authoritative voice, yes. And he said, I came to give you a message. He said, God says, this right here doesn't matter. He said, he doesn't care about this as long as you stay on the path towards him. He said, he doesn't care about this. He said, you're going to walk into your miracle. And he said, God wants you to know that not only the big miracles, but the small miracles are all around you. Thank him for all the miracles, the big miracles, the small miracles. He said, and God has opened heavenly doors all around you. He said, begin to walk in your heavenly doors. He said, God is going to go back. He said, and redeem the time for you. He said, although God created time, he don't live in it, but he uses time. He uses time. So my time hasn't been wasted. Every time I've gone in that hospital, to God, it was not wasted time. God's giving it back. Every day, God is giving it back. I haven't lost a thing. I'm gaining. And I thank God for that. And he said, and God's going to take you and make you whole and complete. Because when we were younger, he would tease me and he would call me Shelley. And he said, the reason he called me Shelley, he said, because you're just too fly, Shelley. He said, and God wants to keep you fly, Shelley, whole and complete, you know. And so when I came out, I was looking forward to the tea. And God just moved so sweetly at the high tea. And so then that was another event. And then we spent the night with my mother. We had like a little pajama party with her that night. And she was so tired, she just started prophesying. I don't even think she knew she was prophesying. She was so tired, she was sitting in that chair rocking and prophesying. And so I went on ahead and stayed with her the weekend because I felt like God wanted me to stay under that anointing, that cloud. And so I stayed. So I stayed with her that Saturday and that Sunday. And that Sunday, we went back. And I said to her, I said, we took a nap and we woke up. And I woke up first. Let me back up a little bit. I went to get some shoes for the tea, and the shoe store had all this candy. And I just started buying candy. I was like, Lord, why am I buying all this candy? But I just felt led to buy it. And so when we were at her house taking a nap, I woke up feeling bad. My sugar had dropped. And I started sweating profusely and shaking. And I don't have sugar problems, but it's this thing been happening lately. And, you know, the devil is still a liar. And the Lord said, eat the candy. And I just sat there and just started eating the candy and eating the candy. And the more candy I ate, the more my sugar came back up and the more I felt better. See, the Lord told me to buy the candy. And so when she woke up and I told her, you know, I said, my sugar dropped and I was in such bad pain. I said, I wanted to wake you up, but you were resting. And so she just went to praying anyway. Well, let's pray anyway. And she prayed and we began to pray together. And the anointing came down again. We were just walking under the cloud, just walking under it. And that's what God wants from us, to walk under the cloud daily, all day long, every day, day and night, night and day. And so I said to her, I said, Mom, I said, since I can't get a prayer watch of my own right now because of transportation issues, so if the Lord is telling one of y'all to give me a car, I receive. I said, I feel led to go with you to your prayer watch. And yours is 2 to 4, right? 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. I said, I believe I'm supposed to go with you to your prayer watch. And so I didn't tell my husband that I was gone, so he showed up to pick me up. And I said, well, I'm glad you're here. Take me home to get some clothes to wear to the prayer watch so I can be comfortable at the prayer watch. So we get downstairs in her building, and he was like, well, let me run and use the restroom before we go. And so I'm standing in the lobby area where the library is, the books are, and I'm looking at the titles on the book, and this huge Hispanic man comes in the building. I mean, tall, not fat, but stocky, huge. Little taller than Mark. Where's Mark at? Little taller than Mark. And he walked in, and he was singing in the spirit in Spanish. But I knew he was singing in the spirit. I don't know how I knew, but I knew. And I looked up and we made eye contact. And instead of going around the room, he came and cut through the room where I was. And he walked past me and he was like, how are you doing this morning, my sister? And I said, I'm good, my brother. God bless you. And so when I said, God bless you, he turned around and he came back to me. He said, I'm Alex. And he reached his hand for me to shake his hand. And I gave him my hand to shake his hand. I was getting ready to say my name. But before I said my name, he just started prophesying healing to me. Prophesying healing, telling me where I was in pain at. God's going to heal that pain in your back. He said, don't give up. God cares for you. He said, God wants me to tell you that he cares for you. He's concerned about you. He's going to heal the pain in your back. He's going to heal the pain in your legs. God knows you are in pain. He cares. He said, just almost the same thing my brother said to me verbatim. This man said to me that morning in my mother's building. I'd never seen this man before, never seen him in her building before. And I was like, Mom, do you think that could have been an angel? And she said, I know it was an angel. Oh, wait a minute. One more thing. My husband had hurt his leg coming to see me at the hospital. And he turned and gave my husband two words. And one of them was that his knee was healed.
Amen. Amen. I should have said this when you were done. Tony, what I love about you is that you notice the small things. You pay attention to those. So God will continue to blow your mind with bigger things now because you've been paying attention to the small things. Amen. Shelly, thank you. That was blessed. That was blessed. Really, really, really. So we should have testimonies every day because we should be telling about Jesus being alive in us every day. So look forward to more of those, since last week was our, what do we call it, a turning point, okay? And this week we're changing our position because he is free to reign through us, okay? So testimony, one after another, after another, after another. Watch for him. The last person is me, little me. And so mine started at work. We have a case where we were representing a police officer, really, really big cop, probably big like your angel, but African-American cop, sweetest man you've ever met. I mean, just this teddy bear of a guy. And we were in the courtroom, and I'm responsible for lining up witnesses and making sure that they understand, okay, you understand what you're supposed to be testifying about. And then you understand you can't say this word or this word because the court orders certain things. And because they don't want the jury to be swayed based off of you using a certain word that can be prejudicial. And so we were in the courtroom and our client, the cop, was testifying. And the attorney on the case turned and handed me a note. And she wanted me, I knew that our two witnesses were outside waiting, and she wanted me to go double check on them, but also to remind them of the court order, the words they can't use. And well, I can say it now because it's over. They couldn't use intoxication or drunk. They could not say that the plaintiff was drunk or intoxicated. So, and she wanted me to make sure that they remembered what they were supposed to be testifying about. So I go outside, and hi, how you doing? I talk to both of them, and I come back in. And she does the same thing again, probably 2 hours later. It was taking longer because there was a video of the incident. And it was fuzzy, so they wanted him to go through each thing, each step by step. And so she wanted me to go and do it again. So I go back out. And the cops were, when I came out of the courtroom, to the left. It was one cop and one bouncer. And the cop had moved. So I turned around, and I went and sat by him. And the first words that came out of my mouth, if I can remember them correctly, were, Alan, that's our guy, Alan is testifying, and the plaintiff's paralegal comes out at the same time. And I know she heard what I said because I was loud enough. I wasn't doing anything wrong. So she comes out and walks by me right at that moment. I said, oh, well, maybe I need to lower my voice and be quiet. This is a case going on. Alan is testifying still. He's been on the stand for 2 hours. This little man's had to wait outside for 2 hours. So I proceed to tell him he's still testifying. The next step is the bouncer. The next step is this and da-da-da-da-da. You know that you can't say these two words. Even after that, he still gets on the stand and says those words. Lord, do you see why I had to keep going out? So back to the paralegal. The plaintiff's paralegal came out, and she heard my words. Alan is testifying. And I got quiet because I saw her come out, and I sat down. So we go back in. They finish with him, and they break. This is our turn to put on our case. We're defense. We take a break and come back. Plaintiff's attorney stands up, along with the plaintiff and his paralegal, and they say, Judge, and we have the most fair judge in Richmond Circuit Court. And he says, we believe that defense counsel has been sharing ongoing testimony with the outside witnesses. Accusations, arrows. And so everybody is sort of stunned, like, huh, what are you talking about? And we're all looking at him, like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? And the judge turns and looks and says, what do you mean? And she's all of a sudden concerned about this. And I'll explain that in just a minute. And they say, well, their paralegal has been sharing information, what's been going on in the courtroom, with the outside witnesses. Testimony. So the rule is, if you've ever had to go to court and testify during a case, they take the witnesses and sit them outside. There's a reason for that. They don't want you to hear what other people were saying. Okay. So my boss turns to me. Every single person in the courtroom turns to me. Okay. Insert Jesus. Insert the grace of God here. I've never experienced fear like that in my life. Everything could have been ruined. Everything. My career, the bread and butter client we were representing, Richmond City Police Department. Bread and butter client. The city attorney that was there watching and observing had just left. She missed this whole thing. That was the grace of God. So everybody's looking at me, my boss included, the boss, not the attorney that's working the case. And he's looking stunned. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm laughing now because I know the end result. I'm sorry. I can't help it. It's just a natural thing. I'm sorry. But I'm in total fear. Shaking on the inside. My stomach, I mean, immediately I could have puked everything I had eaten that day. And the judge turns and she says, well, she turns to the plaintiff's counsel and she says, well, you can just bring him in here and question him about that, can't you? More fear, more stress. And so I my job is to write down everything that they say, because at the end we have to basically go against it with closing arguments. And so the plaintiff's attorney gets to go in the middle of our case and call up our witness. He pulls up our witness. And I forgot to say that my boss stood up. Not my boss, but the attorney working the case stood up and replied to the judge. Judge, I asked her to go outside and check on the witnesses, remind them of the court. She did do that. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have to say anything. Okay, more grace. And so the witness comes up, and he starts testifying. Of course, he uses the word drunk, you know. Oh. And, you know, you're not supposed to, now the jury has to pretend like they didn't hear that. But the plaintiff's attorney never questioned him about our conversation. Hello? Are you working your case today? Why didn't he do that? So, the end of the day, the attorney that was doing the case, total fear. Immediately, as soon as her and I were alone, she said, I am so sorry that I put you in that position. I will never, ever do that again. I know the rules of the court. We didn't break the rules. I don't understand why that happened. You know, end of day. That's 8:30 that night. Next morning. So we have to, we have to show back up. Okay, end of case. Because nothing else came up with that. End of case. And it took till June 6th that the plaintiff's attorney could refile his case. So I've lived in fear since then, because he could have. And my boss had a conversation with the attorney on the case and said, I don't understand what happened. I don't understand why the judge was so upset about that. It's only a rule in federal court. We were in circuit court. So I don't know why the judge even cared. Technically, it's, you know, you shouldn't do it, but we didn't share testimony. All we were doing was giving instruction to what we were doing, what we were allowed to do. I don't understand why the plaintiff's attorney twisted it like that. And so he said, I think you're fine. I don't think he'll refile. So, okay, great, boss. I'm glad you think that, but we're going to wait until the deadline and see what really happens. And we just got word this past week on June 6th that the plaintiff's attorney was not refiling his case. Lion's den experience right there. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit said to me. Lion's den experience. It was me against everyone, including my own boss in that courtroom. And he shut every single mouth, even the one that could have tried to destroy us. So I thank the Lord
that that happened. I didn't enjoy the fear. But the grace of God, to just, all I had to do, and I'm sorry, I forgot. This is what happens when I don't tell stuff that happens right away. While I was sitting in fear, and the plaintiff's attorney was questioning the witness, and I couldn't even make notes on what he was saying because I was just trying to listen to see if he was going to ask him about our conversation outside, I heard the same voice that I've always heard say, "Kristen." And I turned and I thought it was my boss. And he wasn't even looking at me. He was totally drawn into what was going on. And I knew, at that moment, I knew, okay, God, you're with me. You're going to take care of this. I'm still scared. I'm still scared, but I'm still watching. I'm still observing. I'm going to stay put where I am. That happens. God does care about us. He knows we get afraid. He knows we get upset. He knows we get hurt. He knows wounds come. But he says, just stay here and watch my grace. Watch my grace cover you. And he covered me. He covered me. So thank you. That's the end of mine. Sorry it was a little broken up. But was one more? Anika. Anika, could you come up? I believe you have one too. Yay!
Good morning, everybody. I'm not as excited as her. I'm not. I don't like being in front of people. I really don't. But I am excited about freedom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hate to go back to it, but there was an anointing on freedom. You know, God wants us to be free. Yeah. Yeah, so that's so awesome. I wanted to share, I was asked to share. I want to run outside and go to the car and go home. But anyways, God is so faithful like that, though. He uses us either way, regardless of what we want. We just have to be obedient. But anywho, you know, God's mind is truly on Michelle.
Amen.
I will tell you, the grace is, her healing is done. I mean, I think at this point, we just should just praise God because it's over, you know, regardless of how she feels in her body. And I'm so glad for so many different confirmations. And I think he continues to send confirmation because Michelle needs to know that she knows that she knows beyond anything that's happening because her life depends on it. You know, it could go the other way, but this is a supernatural walk for Michelle, you know, so it's important. You'll hear a little bit in the dream why it's so important for everybody to really, 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 really stand their ground. You know, we can't allow the enemy to snuff us out. You know, our responsibility is to one another in the spirit realm. It really, really is, because the world don't care if you die. They don't care, you know. But anyway, I had a dream yesterday morning about Michelle. And some of it, too, is about me. But in the dream, Mitch and I were at a resort, like, vacationing. And we were at a Church's Chicken at a resort. It was so weird. It was like a fancy Church's Chicken, though. I love Church's Chicken okra. But anyways, so we were there in the line. It was taking the people a long, long time. They kept messing up our order. And while we were waiting, we were getting frustrated, whatever. So when we finally got our food, Mitch rushed to the car because he was frustrated. He rushed to the truck. And I was still trailing behind because I'm not fast as him yet. And so as I was walking, though, people started getting sick, like getting really, really ill. One child, like, went unconscious. And his mom started doing CPR on him. And she was screaming out, though, "Somebody help me. I need somebody to do CPR." I didn't know how to do CPR. I couldn't remember. And then it was other people that was, like, falling down sick. I mean, like, everywhere I turned, the people were falling ill. And I was looking for Mitch because Mitch is certified in anything you can think about that has anything to do with reviving people. But he had went to the car. And all I knew to do was pray for, like, everybody that I saw that were wounded, that were hurt. And I was frustrated. I was like, "Mitch," but I don't know if he could hear me. I was so frustrated because I was like, you need to come and help. You know, these people are hurting, and he had the tools to save them. And all I had was the prayer. you know. But that's what I was thinking. I don't know how to do anything but pray. But I did. I started praying. I did what I knew to do because I just didn't have the skills that he had. And in the midst of that, when I got in the truck, I was like, oh, we have to now go to Michelle. We have to go and do something for Michelle. And apparently we had to be on some kind of vacation if we were at a resort. And so when we got to Michelle, it was this huge, huge field. We went out to a field, and the field was full of wheat and tares, like all the way up to my stomach. And when he pulled up, I got out of the truck, and I was afraid because I'm afraid of bugs, and I'm afraid of just stuff on the ground and dirt. It's disgusting. And I was saying, oh, my God, I see them. I could see all the women in the field. They were ripping up the tares. It was a field full of women, strong women. My mom was one. And when I looked, it was a small path that they had made. And I was saying, thank you, Jesus. Because the path was clear for me because I wasn't feeling the weeds up to my stomach and walking in the dirt. So I was like, thank you, God. And I was walking, and I remember walking to get to her, and I had my pocketbook. And in the dream, while I was walking, I was eating my church's french fries out of the purse. I'm not lying. The fries were in my purse. But they were under my money. I had a pocket full of money, but the fries were under the money. And I was eating as I was walking. I was like, Jesus, help us. Well, let me tell you, when I got down to Michelle, Derek and Michelle were talking, and he was getting ready to leave. And Derek, I was telling her, he was dressed in a pantsuit, and he was saying, well, I got to go to work. He was telling her he had to go to work. And I was looking at the field that the people were clearing, and I was looking at him, and I was like, why you got to go to work? I said that. I said, well, wait a minute. We need help to clear the field. Don't go, because I was still scared to get the bugs on me. And I was like, don't leave. And when he went to go, but I looked at Michelle because I wanted her to say something, and she didn't. And she was like, oh, okay. She was so calm. She was so peaceful. But I did notice on the outside, she looked weak on the outside, but I saw her insides. Her insides were completely healed. There was no sickness on the inside. And so I was like, oh, my God. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, she's not sick. And she was so calm, but she wasn't sick on the outside, even though she looked tired. You know, on the outside, she looked tired. But on the inside, her body was completely, completely healed, rejuvenated, was no sickness in there whatsoever. And when I looked around and I saw all the women, they kind of reminded me of Aunt Jemima because they were thick women with strong backs. That's what I remember. They had strong backs. They were strong because they was ripping that stuff up, and they was moving really, really fast. And as they were ripping up the tares and everything that needed to come up, they were moving fast, but the field was endless. And as they were pulling it up, all of Michelle's stuff was on the ground. Under all the weeds was everything that belonged to her, but it was all like brand new, excellent condition. And I was looking, I was like, oh my God, there's a huge field here. But the more they pulled up, the more we could see everything that belonged to her. And I think that was so awesome, you know. And I didn't know the whole revelation of anything, but I knew that it was a field full of women. But one of the things, though, that I was a little troubled about, because I looked around, I didn't see no men. And I was thinking, oh, my God, if we had some brothers, we could, you know, we could get this thing down a little faster. You know, men are strong. Even though the women were strong, I was saddened. I was really, really sad because there were no men there to help clear the field. But I'm telling you, the women was working. They were working. I wasn't even fearful or afraid when I saw how much ground that they were covering. And she wasn't wearing. And then when I saw all the stuff she had, I was like, oh, my God, this is just endless provision and stuff for her. So I called her. I woke up clean out of my sleep. I have dreams a whole lot. So I've learned how to get myself out of a dream. And I've also learned how to go back to sleep and get back in it right where I was. I just been dreaming a long, long time. And then when I woke up, I said, do I go back to sleep or do I need to call her right away? And I believe that the Holy Spirit wanted me to call her right away. And I called her, and normally Michelle don't answer the phone. She does not answer the phone. And I'm telling y'all, it was early, probably maybe like 7 or 8. And I said, well, I'm going to try anyway. She answered on the first ring. I mean, I don't even think it rung 3 or 4 times. And I said, you sleep? I said, do I need to call you back? You know, because you want to be sensitive, you know, to people. If you know that they have any issues, you don't just want to bombard them. You know, if people are working in their healing and waiting for that thing to manifest, you need to be sensitive to that, you know, until it manifests on the outside, too. So I didn't want to overstep, you know. But she said, no. And she said she was woken. So I began to tell her. I said, well, listen, I have a dream. And I normally don't just call people and tell them about my dreams because most people don't want to hear it because it ain't good. A lot of times the stuff that I dream is not good stuff. It's not stuff that people want to hear at all. It ain't making nobody happy. It's just. It's stressful for me. It really is. So a lot of times I don't even waste my time and share. I'll just pray about it and pray that it'll work out for them. You know, a lot of times because this happens quick. There isn't a whole lot of waiting. You know, if I dream something or I see something, it's happening in a week or two, or it's happening really, really fast. Thank God. It used to be a long time, but now manifestations are coming quick. So, you know, I just wanted to share that, you know, because I guess there's some significance. But even in talking to Michelle, you know, we talked about a lot of different things. But I think the main thing is that, you know, like in my own life. Now, use just my life. I had the prayer. My husband had the tools. You know, when you are in a marriage, everybody have their place. Everybody has their purpose. You know, and I think, you know, we've got to get to a point where we are available. You know, we've got to get to a point where we are on our post and where we need to be. You know, we also have to, and this is for me, you know, we have to be at a point where we are available when people really do need us, you know. And another thing, I'm always given, in the dream, when Derek left, he came back. He had left, and he came back, and said, I need some gas. And when he came back and said he needed gas, I had a pocket full of money. So thank God I was able to reach in there and give him money and stuff for gas. But when he left and when he came back, I think, you know, we want to really, really make sure that we are just sensitive. That's all I can say. And I told Michelle, I said, you know, you do with whatever, you know, the dream, whatever you will, however the Lord leads you. You know, I don't want to tell anybody nothing, you know. That's all I have.
Amen. What she saw with Tony, you got more? What she saw with Shelly was exactly what I did this morning, where I said, we're sitting up here, but we see our body down there, and Jesus wants to jump in you. That's exactly what he's doing. That's the process that is occurring right now, Shelly. Amen. Tony.
Well, I wasn't going to share this until New Breed tonight, but since it's on the house, before I had the incident with the gentleman, in my workspace we always work kind of tight knit, and I got this older lady. She's she's spiritual lady, and she just happened to, we were talking about something. We were just talking about how good his God is. And I think I just happened to talk about God's mercy. I was like, you know, I know I'm not perfect, and I know I've known his mercies. And she was like, let me tell you about it. So, you know, and she don't normally, you know, she always talks about God. Like, she's very fired up, passionate when it comes to talking about God. And that, you know, so every time we work, we wind up talking about him anyway. We just talk about how good he is. But this is her first time ever sharing her testimony with me. Not really going to go in her testimony, but it goes up from, she talked about how God took her shame away. She said that she had did some things that affected her life, her marriage, and her child, and all that stuff. And for the years, even though she, God was working it out for her, she had the shame of it. You know, it's not like many people knew about it, but it was just that fact that she knew. And she, you know, always raised up in the church and stuff like that. So she felt that she let God down. She felt like, you know, hypocritical of, you know, stuff like that. And she said that how God came to her one day and told her the scripture that, you know, basically he told her he was going to cast her sins into the sea of forgetfulness and as far as the east is the west, you know, that we will cast our sins away from her, and there is no condemnation. And but it, for some reason, that moment, she's like, I know those scriptures. I already knew them. But that moment when he came, I don't know what it, I was in the middle of my living room. I think I was cleaning. And she said, I broke down. Like she said, I felt his love. I felt him touch me. I felt him pull that thing up out of me. And she was saying, I was so grateful. And she, you know, started crying up in there, and just, and I'm just listening to her. And I'm just like, yeah. And because I kind of felt that before myself. So I know in a sense what she felt like. But she was talking about freedom. She said, I felt so free when God came and took that thing from me. When he took that shame away, I felt freedom. And all I want to do is scream freedom, 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 freedom. And I just remember I told her, saying, I was like, I was raised in a church. You know, I seen it. You know, I didn't live it, but I seen it. But when God touched me, I know when he touched me. And that's the first thing I felt. And that's what I kept saying. I was like, I don't know what it is, but I feel free. I don't feel, it's not that I just felt changed. I felt free. It's not like, you know, it's like I didn't see, you know, my life didn't change that day, but I felt free. I knew that my life had changed in that way, that I was free from, I didn't have to live that way anymore. So so from that day, I had this song in my head. Couldn't, and no, I know I've heard it. I know I got it somewhere on my playlist somewhere, but I can't find it. I still haven't found it, but it's I Am Free. You sang it, so freedom, freedom, freedom. And I kept singing it. I kept singing it. I was just like, man. And I kept trying to find it. I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't remember the person's name who sang it. I can't remember. I type it in the lyrics and it wouldn't pull it up. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm gonna just keep singing it in my spirit. So all week long I've been singing this song, Freedom. And then I met up with the guy and stuff. So then I started praying for freedom today, when you were singing, you know, I hear the sounds of freedom, you know, and then I just had to say something. Nika came up here and was like, freedom. I was like, all right, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and come up here and talk about God and his freedom. And that there is a, that is almost like a start of something, is that God says, I want to free us. You know, I got to free you from your thinking. I got to free you from the way you live. I got to free you from the earthly realm and get you on the higher realm. And, you know, and these encounters that we're having, you know, Shelly, and those dreams and that, when you can't, he gave you freedom from all. He's like, okay, I know you're fearful, but let me free you from that fear. Let me show you that I was already in it. From the fact that he just given me people, he's like, let me show you how free you are, that you don't even have to try. This is, I'm going to give you stuff. I'm going to show you just how good I am. And I think God is going to do that for a lot of us in here. Like, he wants to really start participating in our lives like that. Availability is freedom. You see what I'm saying? Like, when you're distracted, you don't have that ability to be able to just hear God or just to even be able to participate in what he's doing because you're so distracted or you're so busy. But he's saying, I'm giving you the freedom to experience me. So that's why I had to share. I was like, I was going to share it tonight. But I was like, I just thank God for his freedom over this house. You know, because it's pouring out on everybody. And I'm pretty sure all of y'all are experiencing it. It might not have kind of come to, you know, understanding yet. You might not have seen it yet. But one day, one of these days, you're going to be like, I got it. God showed, this is what God has been telling me. And, you know, I'm watching my wife and, you know, and she was telling me about something the other day. I'm not going to share it, but I was just thinking in my head the whole time. It's like, wow, look at the freedom that she has and the confidence that she has in God or what he's doing in people's lives in her life. You know, because years ago, this wasn't her. She didn't have the freedom to do that. She was bottled up. She was scared. She had fear. I didn't have understandings. But I see the freedom just flowing in this house. So I just encourage us all to just continue in that freedom. So God bless y'all.
Amen. Tony's absolutely right. Absolutely right. We hold back the hand of God, and he wants to release the freedom through us. So, amen. I did forget to say, I'm so sorry, my testimony is just so broken up. I'm so excited about everybody else's, that we did get a defense verdict. So, you know, God is, we won. We won. We won. Our police officer was dealing with a drunk, unruly person, and they turned around and sued him. Who do you think I am? You can't arrest me. And yeah, so it was a defense verdict, and in every area. So Jesus is our defender. And he wants to be taken up on that. Cammie read out of the book you gave her, Crystalyn, for her birthday, Jesus is our mediator. A mediator is something that happens in the middle. And he wants to be in the middle. And he wants to do the transaction for all of us. If we could just release it to him. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, everyone, again. Praise the Lord. What's today? I don't know what the date is. June the 11th. Okay, let's read the quote inside June 11th. The greatest need of our time is a reappraisal of Christianity, a new apprehension of what we come into when we come to Christ. There has been much lost, very much lost, of the true nature and essence of Christianity, and there has been much distortion resulting in confusion. I repeat, the need of our time is a re-presentation and understanding of what it is we have come into when we come into Christ. This is an age of cheapness. Get it as cheaply and as quickly as you can, with just as little cost and tiresomeness. Get it quickly, get it easily. That thought governs the whole world system. Everything is now aligned to getting it done easily and getting it done quickly. It is that way in your kitchen, in your scurrying, in your household affairs, and in every other realm. What is true in the secular has now become very largely true in the spiritual. The standards have been terribly lowered. Bigness has substituted greatness. Amen.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and just finish it up with that. Please read your announcement cards when you get home. But the what transpired here today is God on purpose. God on purpose that we have to reassess Christianity. And I won't be long, but you got to stay with me. The testimonies were Christianity. And how God met each person in their situation and gave them a personal testimony of himself and brought them up to a higher level of resurrection, you know, and joining him in his resurrection. And that these are personal relationships with Jesus and with God the Father that's being fostered in the lives of the people here. So I want to share with you before we go just about the life of Paul real quick, you know, because we know he wrote much of the New Testament. And he has a lot of things to say. You know, there's doctrine, there's regulations, ordinances, and things in there. But here's what we got to see, and this is why the Holy Spirit had them testify before I ministered. You know, Paul didn't get the doctrines by rote. He didn't get them because God set him in a corner in his den, if he got one, and said, okay, write this. He actually had to experience everything that he went through. He had to experience it before he wrote it. Everything. You know, he says, unto us, we've given the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. He's given it to us the spirit of real wisdom, redemption, and knowledge, and things like that. How does he know that? Because God put him in a situation. For instance, like he's going to put Derek Cannon into a situation where he's going to need a higher wisdom than human wisdom. And then once I start to pull on heaven, when I go through that situation, then I can say he's made unto me wisdom. Yeah. I can't say it until I go through it. And then really Paul's writing is more of a testimony than it is doctrine. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the book of Romans, that great book, or that great doctrinal book. Do you think Paul didn't have to walk through? Who knows about Romans 7, right? The good that I would do, I would not. Can we all identify with that? He did too. So his life came before the writing. His life and experiences came before the writing. Why am I emphasizing this? Because many times we're so quick to open the Bible and we say the word says this, the word says that, and then we make people cold. We make people very cold, you know. You can't do this because the word said that. Wait a minute. Oh, and I want to talk about Shelley. You know, the written word followed Paul's living word. See, now I got Chris's testimony. I've got Tony's testimony. We got Shelly's testimony. We got Anika's testimony. These are all what I call live. You know, these are reality shows. These are the real deal. These, now they can write. Instead of me listening to Shelly saying, the Bible says this, the Bible says this. I don't want to hear that from Shelly. I want to hear about that dream. I want to hear about that man prophesying to her. I want to hear about Anika having a journey with God. See, here's what we miss. You know, Jesus said, I came to give you life. And you know how he gave you life? Christian's example. He stepped down into your situation. Gave you resurrection life because, see, that's higher than the life that you were living, right? But you have to learn that. You have to learn that along the way. So, you know, I say the word movement was good in some senses, but in another sense, it just made us arrogant. Because it leads you into a false Christianity where you think you know what you don't know just because you read it. Just because you read it. Now, you're an expert. You're a Pharisee. Just because you read it. You know, that's just why the scripture says in all points he was tempted just like we are. He had to live it out. Yeah. He had to live it out before it could be written and he could be enthroned, you know, on the throne of God. So here's what I want to tell you, see. You know, the testimonies this morning were on purpose. It's like Tony summed it up like really nicely. He summed it up like this is what's going to start happening to all of us. We're going to become living Bibles. Living epistles, right? Right? You're going to have an encounter. You know, there are miracles in this room already. You're going to hear about them soon. You're going to hear about them soon. It's already happening. See, it's like Tony said, it's already starting to happen. You know, and even God does it this way. This is what God will prophesy to you. And here's what we got to see. See, God will prophesy something to you. It doesn't mean that, you know, what does he say? I have a plan and a purpose for your life, right? You're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the word of God, sure. But on the other side, see, you need grace to get there. You need grace. You say, well, I know why God's word says I have a plan and a purpose. But how are you going to get there? See, that's where life comes in. See, this is why people don't, this is why people, when we start talking about the resurrection and stuff, it's not doctrine. The resurrection is not doctrine. It's not the thing that we do on Easter. The resurrection is life. So as soon as you jump down, he jumps down on your life, he pulls you up to where he lives. What did he say? I am the resurrection and the... See? So here he's going to put Crystal in a situation where she can't overcome herself. I don't care how much Bible she knows. She won't be able to do it until she pulls on the resurrection and the life, you know. And then once she pulls on the resurrection and life, death has no sting in her life in that area. Nothing can touch her in that area. She's gone above the world system. All the demons in the world might try to converse. They can't bring her down. As soon as they link up with the resurrection himself, when she links up with life himself, nothing can touch her. See? So, but see, we had a movement that made us depend too much on the written word. I'm not, the word is very, very important, but you got to see the order in it. You got to see the order. Paul went through everything that he wrote about. Not one thing did he write. God wouldn't let that happen. God would not let that happen. You haven't been through it, Paul, you can't write about it. You haven't been through it, you can't write about it. See, because all it's going to do, listen, if you haven't been through it, but you're trying to write about it, it's going to really just put people in bondage. And see, this is why we've been talking about freedom. You know why there's freedom here? Because they're living it. Freedom is life. Freedom is not knowledge. It's life. Right? God came into your situation. Now I'm free. I wish I could sing that song like you can get. Right? Now listen. So God speaks to Shelley. The guy, you know, that might have been an angel. That might have been Jesus. Who knows? But God speaks to Shelley. You know, I'm taking care of you. This is gone. That is gone. This is gone. That is gone. Right? That's the word of God. But listen. See, this is where a lot of people fall off the wagon. I'm trying to be short. She needs the grace to get there. Grace isn't God just throwing stuff on you. Grace is giving God's ability in your situation to touch your heart, bring you in union with him, and whatever brokenness you need, right? Whatever dying to self that has to happen, grace is going to let that happen to you, right? Because listen, you can't get to resurrection life in the old nature. You can't get there. So when God starts promising you that you're going to do a whole lot of things, you better believe some brokenness is going to come with it, right? I have a purpose for you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. You know what? I got to get you out the way. We got to get you out the way. See, this is, so when I lay Mike on the floor, it's just an example. It's not theatrics. We're just trying to show you Mike's got to get out the way to really fulfill his pastoral calling. Right? So God's going to deal with Shelley in that example. What unbelief might be in her life so that I could get her that unbelief out of Shelley to get her to the realm of healing? Right? Because we all got unbelief. We all have unbelief. Mm-hmm. We are plagued with unbelief. I mean, plagued. I mean, and so that's why people keep trying to believe. When you keep trying to believe, you're deeper in unbelief. Are y'all listening, Holly? So you can't try your way into faith. You got to follow the experiences that the Holy Spirit brings you through. He's going to set that up to break your unbelief, right? Tell me Christian don't believe God more now. That he's more attached, she's more now attached to the resurrection and the life himself because of what he allowed her to go through. So what if they lied on her? So what if they did her wrong? That's just a part. You need that too. Amen. You need people to lie on you to show that you can stand above it. You just got to happen to you because it's not about you. It's about him, right? But it all keeps coming back to us. You know, we have too many word people, if I can say it that way. I had a person say this, that they were praying for somebody came and said, let me pray for you. And they start quoting scriptures and praying. And the person said, the more they prayed, the sicker they got. Because they knew it more doctrinally than they more knew it living. See, we're living epistles. You know what freedom? This is freedom. This is freedom from the world and freedom from the worldly church and freedom from religion and Pharisaicalism and freedom from, the letter still kills. Old Testament, New Testament, after Testament, it still kill you. Jesus said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. What is he talking about? I'm going to keep giving you experiences in the spirit. I'm going to join myself to you. I'm going to, Shelly, remember Shelly, you had this dream that Jesus was leading you into trouble. He was leading her into trouble. He was leading her into the forest. And Shelly's like, why are we going in this forest? There's trouble in there. This is Nika's dream, right? Why are we going in this? This is trouble. Because I got to show you, just like Daniel and them boys in that lion's den, that even though stuff is burning, it won't touch you. He led her into fire. He led her into fire. You can't read about this. You can't read about it in any version of the Bible. You can't read about it. I got to take you in the forest. I'm going to set up situation, and then you're going to have a testimony. And I'm going to set up another situation, and then you have another testimony. And I'm going to set up another situation. What did Christians say? We're going to keep having these testimonies. You know why? Because we're alive. We're free. And we're calling on the one who has been delivered from all death, and then we associate with him in the spirit, right? We're one with him in the spirit, and we rise up. He keeps getting you to rise up in the spirit. Death can't even hurt you. Let the fire burn. Let the people talk about you. Let them disagree with you. Who cares? We got freedom. Let the boat go down. I'm free. Right? It's like Rick Jordan told a story. He was on a big old ship, army ship. And the captain and them were guiding the ship, and they saw a big old missile coming in. And the captain started, says, come in. And the first mate, so whoever they are, was saying, okay, it's 100 yards, it's 10 yards, or whatever. And Rick Jordan said he was bracing himself for the impact, and he said it came, and nothing. And he said, Jesus said to him, that's what I want you to walk in.
Come on now.
The world can bring whatever they can. It's not going to impact you. See, this is freedom.
That's freedom.
This is freedom. See, so God's taking Shelly through situations, like a nigga said, taking her through situations to prepare her for what's already been done. I already put a verdict on you, but I got to get you out the way. And see, that's when we're slow. That's when we don't trust the resurrection and the life himself. We don't trust the resurrection and the life, because the resurrection, that's got no dominion over him. No sickness has no dominion over him.
None.
He says, you follow me through this. Yeah, I had to make sure people treated you a certain way. But see, I got to get rid of you so I can get that promise fulfilled in your life. See, I lay you in the floor. Yeah, God, this hurt. I remember this. I remember I had a dream, some people were after me, some thugs. I hate them thug dreams. I try to cross the other side of the street, and the thugs were over there, it's fear. I hate those thug dreams. And they start beating me up, and I want to fight, And the Lord said, no, you bow down, take your shirt off. Let them beat you. So I got to get you out of the way. They ain't going to kill you. They ain't going to kill you. I got to get you out of the way. See, we're in the way more than we realize. You say, I'm a Christian. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let somebody say something to you. Let somebody say something about your mother. When we were coming up, I don't know if the breed, your mama. It's still, don't mess with your mama, right? Your mama or your money, Rocky said. You got to get to the point, if they stole everything you got, you still rejoice in Jesus. I'm not joking about that. And take your whole household. That's Job. That's what that's all about. That's what that's all about. And he messed up. Bless God, I was a righteous man. I'm helping out my neighbors and stuff like this. God, you let that happen. Your carnal thing. God's trying to get him to the point of sonship. He's trying to get him to a point of resurrection. That stuff shouldn't have to bother us. See, this is what the testimony is all about. It's God just trying to show you, right? You know, Paul had to go. This is his Paul. I was in the deep for such and such a days. You know, they beat me up 39 stripes. How many ever times, right? He had to go through that to write to you. You couldn't copy it. And see, this is why I wanted her to read the quote. We have to reassess what Christianity is. Because a lot of our messages, all they do is cater to you. It's catered to you. I want to hear. You know, I remember Pastor Jerry always get on me. I started a message one Sunday a few years ago. I said, trouble, not money don't come, trouble cometh. You know, but it used to be the sign, money cometh. I said, trouble cometh. Because God's got to show you something. Don't blame other people. That's the big temptation. Same with Adam, right? That woman you gave me. I try to blame Glow as much as I can. But it's the same spirit, right? It's the same thing. It can't be me, Lord, that woman you gave me. See, that's in the human nature. And God's trying to get us above human nature to resurrection life. You got to get out of the human realm. In other words, God's fault. You get it to me. So I tell people, you know, it sounds wrong to people, but I was like, man, put your Bible down for a second. Because all you're doing is quoting what you think you know. And you're trying to rule over people with it. Bless God. The Bible says you're supposed to submit to authority, Mike. You know, bless God. Now, of course, he's supposed to submit to it. But, you know, God's got to walk him through that in the spirit. Right? I mean, I'm going to be, you know, the Old Testament, thou shalt not steal. You know. Why are you using that on people? Let God bring people through. If they have a stealing nature, let God bring them out from situation to situation to situation. There's no use in me hitting you over the head with it. It takes grace to get you out of those situations. It's resurrection life to get you out of those situations. You can't preach people out of it. Think about this. One day, the church is going to be without spot, without wrinkle. Now, we all know our own strength can't get us there. So ain't no use in us judging other people for nothing. God, let your grace bring us. Let your grace do that. Let your grace bring that about, God. And then, you know, on the way, Kristen, the testimonies are not going to cease because God's building you up to his bride. And the testimonies will not cease. And it's all going to be in his resurrection power. Look, it can't be on the ground. It can't be earthly. So every testimony you go through, every experience at Nika that you go through is going to be heavenly. Because God keeps ascending you past yourself, right? So I say Shelly's healed. Bless God. I say her past is gone, and God's working on a new thing. Come on, right? He's working on a new thing, but it's a heavenly thing. So now when I speak the word, it has happened in my life. You know. Let's learn to walk in that. You know, I'm looking through the room at new creatures. You know what new creatures are? They're trending toward the resurrection, right? God's given them a promise, and he says, okay, I'm going to give you the grace to get there, right? And walk in the spirit and an everlasting life. The last thing I want to comment on, and we'll find a way to do the offering, Chris. You know, we have two 24-hour prayer watches here, and, you know, Anika, you know, there's three men a part of that. Three, we need more. Take a prayer watch. Three, me, four. Four. You know, that dream troubles me. There are too many ladies in that field. Amen. All right, so let's walk in the Spirit. Let's live in the Spirit. I have something glow on my notes. There's something missing in the black book. There's something I got to get to. I can't get this off me. I'm trying to remember what it is. Thank you. Stay with me for just a second. I'll make sure I hit the hot stuff. Okay, good. Okay, good. That's it right there. You know, when we say walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, or where the Scriptures, Paul said it. You know why he said it? Because he had to do it. If Paul had to walk it before he wrote it, that made living in the Spirit practical. Right? It's not some woo-woo zone out here that you only, you know, no, it's, I'm living it before I wrote it, so it's practical. I have to go practical life about it, right? So I'm just trying to tell you, whatever you go to work, you got to live in the Spirit. Because even at work, God's going to take you up to another level. Yeah. Everything's practical because you walk it out. It'll go beyond what your mind can conceive, but that's resurrection life, right? God's going to open that up to you. Last thing, I think. Here's the last thing. We have to reassess, like the quote said, you know, our approach to Christianity. When you read your Bible now, don't read it as doctrine. Read it as Paul's life. Don't read it as doctrine. He's an apostle, and I think we're in apostolic times. Excuse me. He's an apostle. When you read it, boy, he must have, you know, you can, there should be a kinship with him. Where he's walking through this, man, I'm going to have to walk through some of this. It may not be the exact same way, but the testimonies were, these were apostolic testimonies, right? He wrote what he was living. You testified of what you went through. That's life. That's resurrection life. And we can, you know, the more these testimonies come, like Tony said, the experiences, the dreams are going to spread. The visions are going to spread. The encounters are going to spread. Look what God did. The freedom's going to spread. Look what God did. I can see it happening on you. And we're going to run out of time like we did this morning again and again and again. Don't let it go. It's the walk first. And then the word. All right, so why don't you come up and let's do the offering and dismiss, I guess. Amen.